You've been on the board, you've been away from the board, you're now put your name back in to return to the board. What prompted you to decide that you wanted to return to the Keokuk School Board?
Sure. The first thing that prompted me was the fact that I remain passionate about our school district. It was good to have 2 years off of the board so I could take a step back and look and from more of a citizen point of view and see what's going on. You know, when I knew that the four individuals that were up for reelection, I mean, the school district has a potential of losing 48 years of service. And, you know, I think that makes a good board member is somebody that has experience, knowledge, and understands what a board member's role is.
What do you see as the district's biggest strength? Mm-hmm.
The biggest strength that I see right now is the environment. I think that the new administrators that we've hired in the school district have brought in, you know, the PBIS, the K-Pride, KMS Pride, and then the elementary's character counts. I think the environment has been more conducive to learning. It gives kids a feeling of belonging and a feeling that, you know, it's a safe environment for learning and that, you know, positive relationships are being formed between teachers and students, which is, to me, the number one key to having an education.
Flip side of that, what's the biggest challenge facing the district and how as a board member would you address that?
Sure. Biggest challenge is always funding, the budget, understanding the budget. You know, as a previous school board member, it took me almost 4 years to understand the entire budget. But it's finding that balance between, you know, when enrollment dips, costs rise, we've got to find, you know, some way to keep the school running and fund it. But the special education deficit right now is something that, you know, has added to the tax burden, which, you know, if elected, you know, I'll work with the superintendent and our business manager to bring that under control, find out what's going on. The other issue is the open enrollment. We need to take a look at that. It's always been a problem. We've done multiple surveys, multiple meetings for parents that open enroll, and we're really not getting a very cohesive answer on what the reason is. Everybody's got a different reason. But I think we've got, the district's got a lot of things moving in the positive direction that, you know, the individuals that are open enroll, you know, we'd invite them to come back, take a look, see what we have to offer, and, you know, hopefully get those open enrolled students back.
And that's what a direction I was going to go was open enrollment here. Does it take just having almost a recruiting effort? I mean, like kind of you think about college sports, and does it take an effort like that because you're getting these mixed reactions as to why people are leaving? Is there an approach to take to get them back?
You know, I think at this point, the school district has tried pretty much everything outside of begging parents to come, you know, come to the school. You know, we have open houses. Our principal's doors are always open. You can go in and talk to them. They'd give you a tour of the school district, you know, to see what's going on in elementary, middle school, and high school. But, you know, you're not going to make everybody happy. There's always going to be some open enrollment, and there's always going to be some, you know, that open enroll into our school district. But, you know, the $64,000 question is, you know, how do you keep everybody coming to the district? And you're not going to make everybody happy. I mean, there are some parents that are upset with one teacher at the high school, so they open enroll. There's parents that are upset with, you know, extracurricular activities, so they open enroll. And there's just really, you know, we've tried to find, you know, the one of the root causes of open enrollment, and there just isn't one thing. So it's going to take a multifaceted approach, you know, be it recruiting, publicize our educational opportunities more, especially at the high school and our dual enrollment with SCC, to the elementaries, you know, and the things that we've changed. I mean, we just did a language arts curriculum update, a math update. So things are going in the positive direction for those parents that open enroll to take another look at your home school district. You currently pay property taxes, you know, and, you know, you're getting a world-class education here in Keokuk.
One of the ways that education is being provided now is the district has started sharing resources. Right now they're working with Harmony. Superintendent Hood has said he's talked to other districts. Do you support that idea of sharing teachers between districts?
Okay. This is a subject that I can see the pros and cons on. The pro is if you have a teacher in the school district that only has 20 students all day long, and we're looking at budget issues, it's not very budget-wise to keep that teacher as a full full-time teacher. So sharing, as long as the teacher's involved in the agreement, both school districts are involved in the agreement, and everybody's happy. I look at the recent industrial tech sharing opportunity that, you know, I think some things could have been done a little different, but, you know, we got to have every party involved. Now, when we look at another sharing opportunity, such as, you know, looking at sharing educational opportunities like FFA and auto mechanics and things like that, I think we should go and explore those to give our students another opportunity, you know, to maybe go to Central Lee for FFA or go to Fort Madison for something that Keokuk doesn't offer, and vice versa. I think the school districts in this area need to work together to make sure that the students have a successful a foundation for success. You know, that's every school district's goal, is to educate kids. You know, granted, with extracurricular activities, we may be, you know, foes that way, but we're all there for the common cause of educating kids.
There's been talk of, now once the election is passed, that the new board, there have been a request from a couple of board members to create a set of board goals, because the superintendent goals are not public because they're part of the contract. So they say we need to have school board goals. Is that something that, that you would support, having a set of goals from the school board?
We actually, when I was on the board 2-3 years ago, we had board goals. We had district goals, we called them. And, you know, off of that, we had different action steps that we actually brought somebody in to create these goals for us. Absolutely. I mean, the board needs a direction. It needs a, overall vision of where we want to take the school district. So, yeah, I'd support, you know, work very closely with the Iowa Association of School Boards to maybe come down and do a workshop on, you know, where we want to go, the vision, and set goals and priority actions off of that.
We talked about the budget a little bit. It's been estimated 80-85% of the budget is teachers, benefits, personnel, basically. So that doesn't leave a lot of room to a lot of wiggle room there. What are your priorities outside of, with that extra, the money that is there for the rest, kind of where do you prioritize spending in the budget?
Sure, absolutely. The prioritizing is curriculum update. We're doing our students an injustice if we do not have the most current education opportunities available. You know, like I mentioned before, we just updated, or the board just updated language arts. They updated mathematics a couple years ago. You know, there's social studies that we need to take a look at updating as well. And that, that costs money. I mean, a curriculum update could cost anywhere between $300,000 and $400,000. But that money is very scarce. And I am a firm supporter in finding somebody or a group of individuals that are willing to apply themselves to grant writing. I propose the idea that we look at somebody who's proficient in grant writing and maybe pay them a stipend to do that, or, you know, enter into some type of agreement of a percentage or something along those lines. But we really need to look at other opportunities for funding. I mean, the ultimate goal of a school district is not to make money. It's to educate kids. And our number one expenditure, because we are, you know, our human services, if you will, in education is staff. I'm a firm believer that the teachers are not paid what they're worth. I think they, you know, if budget issues were not a problem, I think, you know, they should be paid triple of what they're getting paid right now. They did bring back the early separation policy, which I'm a supporter of. I think, you know, that helps the morale of the teachers to know that our school district supports us. And, you know, if a job well done and the end of my career, you know, have a little thank you parting gift. But the only issue with that is it does increase our taxes. It increases the management levy. Matter of fact, I believe it increased at $2, which, you know, that's, you know, something, I guess, when the community looks at, you know, hey, you raised my, you know, my taxes, you know, we need to find, again, a happy medium with that. We look at, I think right now the early retirement package is $20,000 over 2 years. Maybe we look at $20,000 over 5 years, you know, to reduce that tax burden. But that was the original reason why we did away with the early separation, was to lower that management fund, because we had the second highest management fund in the state, and that drove up our tax rate. So, but to prioritize curriculum updates, we need to look at that. As well as, you know, how can we better acknowledge the teachers that are doing their job? You know, again, I think we have some of the best teachers in the state, and we need to acknowledge them and compensate them as. And I, just finding the money to do that, and grant writing, and making sure that, you know, the main reasons of educating kids is covered before anything else.
What have you been hearing from people as you've been out campaigning? Has there been a common theme that you've heard?
The common theme that I've heard is the inner conflict on the board. We've got some very strong-minded school board members, and it's one of the reasons why I decided to run again, because when I was on the board, we always worked as a team. You know, the minority supported the majority, and it was a great group to be around. But we've got two board members that aren't running because of the conflicts on the board. I'll call it, for lack of a better term, the bullying that happens when somebody votes a different way than what they supposedly told another board member they were going to vote, and stand up and get in their face after a board meeting and, tell other board members how to vote. That's something that needs to stop. We're professionals. Our common goal is to educate kids. We should not come into the board with a hidden agenda, to try to fire somebody or hire somebody. Our ultimate goal is to educate kids. And if that goal is not shared amongst the board, the board is the number one factor in how communication is set in the district. If the board's got conflict and the board doesn't support its administration and teachers, the school district will crumble like a house of cards. I mean, it'll be back to where it was 20, 30 years ago. But, I think what I offer is, a team builder. I've been a leader on the school board. I brought people together. Yes, we've disagreed. Yes, I've, maybe made some decisions that didn't make people happy, but every decision has to be made with the students at mind.